Good morning, James.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you today?
Not too bad. Good. Sun is shining. It's not a bit chilly, but that's okay. It's to be expected, as opposed to the 78 degrees we had last weekend in November in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was gorgeous last weekend here as well. And today, as you mentioned, I mean, it's sunny here, but you can see that breeze out there. And it, I'm inside. It looks like a cold breeze. It just, you know what I mean? You just can sense it. Today is put away the outdoor furniture and bring some firewood into the house day, which I broke that news to the children last night before they went to bed. And there were forlorn looks, but not too many objections, because really, what else do we have to do?
That's true. And, you know, they need to earn their keep.
They do. They do. And if they want it to be warm, then we need I need my firewood up here. Stupid hill in the backyard.
whatever. They're young. They can burn off the calories.
Oh, yeah. Builds character. I wish I was at the point where I could just sit in a lounge chair and instruct them on what to do. But I need to be part of it. The problem, too, I mean, as you know, my 13-year-old girl is like 80 pounds soaking wet. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if I were to fill up a wheelbarrow and said, push this wheelbarrow up, if I would up the hill, no. Something would break and it would be something on her. So.
You need a compliment. Do you have a Boy Scout? Can't he rig up some sort of elaborate system of ropes and pulleys?
Probably. That's an interesting thought. I think he's more about the, if I just carry this up and down the hill faster, it'll be over sooner.
Yes, the brute force approach.
Yeah. Sometimes, I think the last time we did this and my daughter did not join us, I believe his exact words were, that took less time because Sadie was not out here. Now, we'll find things for everyone to do. Everyone gets a job.
Good.
So let's see, what do we got here? Let's do a wee bit of housekeeping.
Okay.
So, new patron, thank you, Julie, for joining us. Always good to have more folks joining up. If you've forgotten about our Patreon account, I don't know how you could, because we talk about it all the flipping time.
All the time.
So, Maybe people are having trouble spelling it. Patreon. Crap. I did get it right. Patreon.com/hepnology, or you find it on our website. And that is where we give out all the extra stuff. Week in advance to hear the podcast. If you're a hopnologist patron, you get to join us in our Discord. And we're going to have another live chat with our Discord folks in a couple of weeks. We haven't even told them yet.
Nope.
We just put it on the calendar. Surprise. so we do a lot of neat extra stuff. And I'm about to send out some extra swag for those of them who've been with us for a while.
Nice.
James has been working in the lab.
Yep. In the shop. Doing stuff.
I think this time what we're sending out is your homemade vaccine. Is that what it is?
It is. Yes. We're not sure what it's a vaccine for, but
nope.
You know, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. It's the vaccine for whatever it is that ails you.
Yep, sure. Let's just say, we'll just call it
sure.
That.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I'm sure I got in trouble in some capacity for that one. Okay. So something else that I meant to bring up when we recorded last week, because it had just happened, but I did not, is just to recognize the passing of Mr. Alex Trebek.
Oh.
And, you know, I bring it up for us in particular, because this, you know, Jeopardy is a show, and he is someone who has championed facts and knowledge. And yes, it's, you know, it's not trivia. It's not like one of these stupid shows that asks about whoever had balloons on the cover of their last album. You know, this is real historical and current events, knowledge, and legitimate stuff. And I love watching that show with, not only with my kids, but I like watching it with my parents. It's fun to see how people align with certain levels of knowledge and what's important to them and what isn't. And there's so much interesting stuff that goes on there. So just want to thank Alex Trebek for all those years of pumping truth and knowledge into our living rooms.
Wow, that was a great commercial for Jeopardy.
I thought so.
Yeah.
We're awesome. We're big fans.
Yeah. No, I am too.
I'm wondering who, you know, I don't think there's been much discussion yet. There's probably been a lot of discussion, but no announcements on how they're going to follow him.
Yeah. Ken Jennings.
I don't know if they'd bring back a previous winner. You know who I'd love to see do it? It would be Jon Stewart.
Oh, Jon Stewart.
Wouldn't that be awesome? The other thing that I did see come up the other day is losing Alex Trebek and Sean Connery in rapid succession.
Yeah.
You have to remember the Saturday Night Live skits. With the
of course. Yeah.
Some of the – it was what? Daryl Hammond and Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, yeah.
Some of the funniest stuff ever.
Penis mightier. Don't hold out on me, Trebek.
And you know, to
your mother's a whore.
you actually do a decent. That's not a great Sean Connery, but it's a pretty good Daryl Hammond as Sean Connery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You know, to bring it all full circle, I want to say that when Chadwick Boseman was on SNL last year, he also did they did one of their rounds of Black Jeopardy.
They did, yes.
Which was very, very funny as well.
Yes, yes. He did it as T'Challa. He did it as T'Challa. Funny, yeah.
Oh, boy. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Well, anyway, Mr. Trebek, we thank you.
Very much. Yes.
So.
On to business.
On to business. Well, I was just going to surf the web and buy things on Amazon today. That was
No. I went shopping.
You went
virtual shopping.
Virtual shopping.
Since I thought that the last episode we did on, I think it was James's favorite tools or whatever, mm-hmm. it was just sort of a things that I loved in the hop yard tools to use. Just kind of a broad spectrum. A lot of it was, you know, implements and whatnot. I figured, let's do this again, but let's take a look at this from a little bit different angle. And let's look at all of those things that people don't think about that they need until they need it. Or if they have used it, they're like, how did I ever get along without this?
And I will say, I mean, you've been adding continuously to this list. And when you first shared it with me, I laughed, but I also nodded and went, yeah, good thought. Because my thought process was we were going to see a whole lot of tools on this list. And the very first thing that I saw was first aid kit. And I went, you know what? Yep. That's actually a really, really good point. Sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to take a look at this and say, okay, I don't care what scale you're at. If you want to be serious about your hop production, these are the things that anybody, any grower of really any scale could use. Mm-hmm. Some of them may be, you know, not necessarily appropriate for backyard growers, like homebrew growers, but certainly anybody that's at a small, even pilot commercial scale would want this stuff. And I'm going to continue adding to this as I think about it. And, you know, we'll see what we can do about making it public and all that kind of stuff. But, so I figured I kind of had a good time yesterday just going through Amazon and hunting for stuff and adding it to a list.
Nice.
And seeing how the price tag keeps going up on my basket here if I buy all this stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's true. But it is – I agree. We'll have to find a way to share this with everyone. And I think Amazon just needs to know that we're sharing a legitimate list and it's not just a list full of blow-up dolls and whatever.
Right, right. No, that's my other list.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not on that one.
Right. Okay. Anyway, so – so I figured let's just jump into this and let's talk about some of this cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Some of this stuff is things that you don't think about, but if you don't have it, you're hurting for it. But others is just, I don't know, things that I found that I like to have around. And some things on here are things that people need, but they don't usually get. And I think I want to start off with that.
Okay.
And you had made mention before we started recording about this, there's a lot of like chemistry stuff on here.
There is a lot of chemistry, which I assumed you were using to make the vaccine we sent out.
Oh, no. That's other stuff. Oh. This is all around pesticide handling because I see that as a major, gap in most people's operations. So I figured what are the things that you really need to have on hand? This stuff isn't necessarily expensive to make sure that your pesticide, fungicide, just agrochemical game is on par. First thing that comes to mind is just handling of this stuff. So mixing and dosing and all that good kind of stuff. So these are some very simple things you probably ought to have your own of and not taking it out of the kitchen, like, say, Pyrex glass measuring cup set.
Gloves? So safety gloves? Yeah,
well, gloves are on there. But the one thing that I really loved was I had a set of Pyrex glass, straight up ones you'd have in the kitchen, but they were specifically for agricultural chemicals. I've tried plastic ones over the years, but frankly, some of the formulations that you dump into those can like fog the plastic and do other funky things to it, and you can never really get them quite clean. So I had the glass. I used the glass ones, and the glass ones were great. You're like, oh, they could break and whatnot. Yeah, but when you really ought to be handling your pesticides with a little bit more care when instead of just, you know, tossing your glass measuring containers around. And those are going to be good for the larger growers, you know, larger acreage growers that are going to be using more volume of liquid. But as we know, some of our smaller growers, I mean, a pint goes a long way of some of the stuff, and certainly some of the stuff that's really expensive. So when you do the math and you're like, okay, I'm not at 50 acres, I'm at an acre, and I need 1.25 milliliters per gallon. How am I going to measure that out? Well, another thing I have on this list is a 5-milliliter plastic pipette. So what is a pipette? It's basically this little tube with graduations on the side of it that you suck liquid up into, and it's highly highly calibrated, so you know exactly how much you're putting into solution. Stick that little pipette down in that pint and pull up exactly what you need, and you can dose it right into your sprayer, whether it's a hand pump sprayer or a small air blast sprayer. Invaluable to have those. And they're cheap. I mean, you can get 5 or 200 of these things for $30. Those Pyrex glass sets, you know, is like $25. I mean, these are not expensive items.
And that's a one-time use thing, I assume. That's why you're getting so many of them.
The plastic ones, yeah. You want to use them and then they're done. You can get glass ones, but they're spendy. And these are lab supplies. So don't be shocked at that. But the idea here is you want something you can measure, you know, larger volumes of liquid in. But then for smaller growers, you're going to need something that's graduated that measures very small volumes. Because you're not going to be using a lot in many of your scenarios, certainly when you're on an acre or something like that.
Yeah,
you're going to be using small amounts.
And at that level of concentration, you can't be taking your larger measuring cup and going, well, that looks like a quarter of the line on the container.
Yeah.
I think I'm close with this kind of concentration can be bad.
Yeah, you know, very, very much so. And frankly, you could have – a milliliter and a half of film on the inside of your big glass Pyrex measuring cup thingy that you would need. So it's not like you could really use that to measure it out. So I think both of those, you know, large scale for larger volume liquids and a smaller one for much more precise dosing is important. And you could use those for fertilizers too. Like if you're using inline liquid fertigation injector and you're adding micros, you're going to be adding very small amounts of micros. And so you're going to be adding milliliters of this concentrated micro solution to, you know, a 55-gallon drum. So you want to have that fine dexterity, but also, you know, something that can handle larger volumes.
Sure.
When you're dumping in quarts and all that kind of stuff. Part of that, that little pipette thingy is what they call a pipetter. It's a little like a little widget you stick on the top of the pipette. It's thumb operated. It's got a little thumb wheel. It's just basically a syringe. Turns your pipette into a syringe. If you're stupid like me, you don't use one of those. You just, you know, suck on the end of the pipette.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's called, in the parlance, it's called suck and blows. It's not what you think.
I think it's exactly what I think.
That's what we called it in graduate school. Anyway, you'll need one of those too. And that's like that little syringe topper thingy is like $5 or $6. It's not much, but you're going to want both of those. If you have that set up, you're going to be able to handle any dosing requirements that your agrochemical needs require from a liquid perspective. But what about powders? Get a scale, but not like, I want you to get a old school analog kitchen scale, you know, with the big ass dial on it and the big silver tray, because you're going to be measuring powders, and those powders in most cases are going to take up a lot of volume. So don't get a small digital kitchen scale and try to put a big mixing bowl on the top of it.
And then you don't can't even see the readout on it.
It's, you know, exactly. It's, yeah. Certainly, and you're out in the sun. If you're outside, like in the yard, and you're measuring that stuff out there, you're not going to be able to see it. $25, right? Mm-hmm. Stainless steel, you know, dial kitchen scale. Up to the one that I got picked out, it's up to 11 pounds capacity. That's more than you're going to need. And they're highly accurate, too. I mean, you can get down into the fractions of a pound, fractions of a kilo with these things. But have it on hand. Use it only for your dry flowables and your granulars. You can even use it for fertilizers if you need to weigh it out precisely, like if you're doing hand broadcasting in a small yard. Get it. Here's the thing, though. Wash out the tray when you're done with it. Even though it's a powder, it will corrode even right through that chrome-plated stainless. Ooh. So, yeah, make sure you're rinsing it out when you're done with it. But these things live in your barn. They live in your garage. And they're used for these purposes only.
Yep. And you know, can't stress that part enough. And you said it before, but just to reiterate, because I know people are listening going, I've got this stuff in the kitchen. I can just take it out when I need to use it. Remember the friends and family episode? We talked about not pissing off the rest of your family. this is one of those times. Keep yes. that stuff separate. It's bad enough when you use the toaster in the kitchen to dry your hops to do testing of your moisture content. That's bad enough. Don't start taking the measuring cups and the scales. No. The right tool for the right job.
Exactly. So staying along that pesticide chemical route, gloves. And you're like, yeah, well, duh, James, I'm going to use gloves. No, I'm talking gloves. Mm-hmm. I just want to see gloves that come up past your elbow. And so I've got these gloves that I picked out. They're nitrile gloves, so they're going to be chemically impervious. They're like 24 to 26 inches long, and they come way up your arm. Certainly if you're dealing with larger sprayers, you're going to want something that gives you protection. Odds are you're wearing short sleeves when you're out in the farm and whatnot. You do not want to get this concentrated chemicals on your skin. So be smart. Wear the proper PPE. Everybody knows what PPE stands for nowadays. True. And just be smart about it. You're going to thank yourself. Plus, I've even taken those long arm gloves out, like when I'm dealing with a sloppy irrigation mess and I got to dig up a broken line underground, or you're dealing with muddy, nasty grossness, use those type of gloves. I even got my wife a pair of these gloves because one of her hobbies is water gardening. She has a couple of ponds outside, and she uses those when she has to go scoop out the muck and the dead frogs in the spring. So good gloves. Get them. And again, $14. I mean, come on, people. And I would say lastly, as far as the PPE is concerned, respirator. This isn't the paint respirator you get from the hardware store. The one that I picked out was a PT100 full face gas mask and organic vapor respirator. Even though some people are diligent about wearing a respirator, I rarely see them wearing appropriate eye protection. It's usually sunglasses or, you know, I've got safety glasses on. No, I get it. And those are good for sawdust and metal sparks, but not for vapor or liquid mist getting in your eyeballs. Get this whole face respirator. Covers your whole face.
Yep. It looks like something out of a dystopian hellscape movie of some. I have to use that phrase every time now.
You do, yes. Yeah.
But yes, this looks like severe outbreak type material, but there's a reason for that.
I had three or four of these. Now, if you want to get super pro on this, you would go to a safety, like an industrial safety supply house, like Connie Safety or something like that, and they would actually fit you for these things. There's a fit test that you do to make sure you got the right one. But at the very least, you want one that's passive filtration, like the one I've got picked out. They're just, you know, cartridges that you can interchange on them. If you want to, and I didn't find this on Amazon, I will find it. But you want to go all super awesome, you'll get an active filtration setup. Certainly if you've got an open rig tractor that's not doing any filtration, it's a helmet. And it's got an external filter box that's pumping filtered air actively into the helmet for comfort's sake. If you've got a lot of tractor time and you're cat tractor isn't enclosed. Those are very spendy. I mean, those could be upwards of $1,000 at the very least. Look at a full face respirator.
Yeah, and you're talking, you know, basic health and safety. But if you've got asthma, if you've got other breathing issues, yeah. I mean, you can't work out in the field without one. You know already that you can't work out in the field without something like this.
Yep, get it, get the right thing. This, like I said, this one's spendy, the most spendy so far on our list of $100. Super cheap compared to your potential copay situation.
Yes, everything preventative is cheaper than your copay.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the list here. I think that does it for chemical stuff. Mm-hmm.
We've got a sprayer there.
Oh yeah, I do have. I've got a backpack sprayer, a Solo 4-gallon backpack sprayer. I don't care what backpack sprayer you get, but for years we ran around with those little 2-gallon hand pump jobbies for spot spraying, and I upgraded to the backpack one, and I spent some money on it. The Solo one is like $83 because you get what you pay for in these manual sprayers for sure. Loved it. 4 gallons of liquid is a lot heavier on your back than you think it's going to be, but just the amount of efficiency that it gained you for going out and doing spot spraying is enormous compared to those little 2-gallon jobbies. Huh. So I would recommend having one of those, not maybe for the quarter acre hop grower or even maybe the acre hop grower, but certainly if you're up into that 5-acre range, you want to use something like that. Now, if you're bigger than that, you're going to want to look to maybe something like one of those ATV sprayers that's got a bigger tank on it. And likely if you're that size, you're going to have some sort of field vehicle beside your tractor that you can drive around and do spot spraying with. But for the smaller growers, get a backpack sprayer and just save yourself the hassle. So much, so worth it.
So let's see, you've got a bunch of hand tools here.
Oh, let's talk about EDC. You know what EDC is?
I do not know what that is.
Everyday carry.
Ah, okay.
EDC.
Make that up, or is that actually?
Oh, no, that's a thing, buddy. That's EDC. So what do I carry every day? And look like an absolute idiot when I walk into the hardware store because I'm wearing a utility belt.
Oh, so many jokes. So many I jokes.
Yeah. So first thing, get yourself a multi-tool. And in my opinion, the only multi-tool on the planet is a Leatherman. They are spendy, but they are worth it. The number of times that I've had an issue with my Leatherman and sent it back to Leatherman to get it fixed for free, I have the same Leatherman for 15 years. Even when the knives go dull and I can't get them sharp anymore, I send it back. They put a new knife blade on it and send it back to me, and it just costs me postage. I mean, come on. But if you haven't been converted to the church of the multi-tool, come to one of our new recruit sessions. It will change your life to the point where if I don't have it on, I feel naked. I use it that often. And you don't think you will? You absolutely will. Get it. Put it on your holiday birthday wish list or whatever. But I've got a couple on the list here. They range. The cheaper one is $60 and the higher end one is 90. But you can get them way up to 180. I don't think you need to go that crazy, but certainly multi-tool. Absolutely, positively. And I would even, every new full-time person that I hired for the farm, I got them a multi-tool. Because the amount of time they would go running around looking for the right tool and then they wouldn't have it, or they just needed pliers real quick and they didn't have it. Here's a multi-tool. I want to see it on your person every day. Just do it. So get one. So that's my number one EDC. The other EDC I would have are eye loops or hand magnifying glasses for scouting. And I've got two on this list. One of them is a less expensive 3, 5X, 8.5X folding lenses. And, you know, you can combine them in different combinations to get more magnification. But, I mean, these things are tiny. They're easy fit in the palm of your hand.
Sure.
But the more expensive one is a 30 and 60X. It's actual, like, jeweler's loop. Much higher integrity machine or a tool, but it's also got an LED light on it, which is super helpful when you're getting that close.
Yeah, and you say more expensive, but it's $10.
It's $10. Yeah, it's not all that much more expensive. So I would go for the higher end one. Now I've seen people that are like, oh look, I've got this, you know, ADX little, you know, plasticky, looks like a hand microscope thing. Nah, I've tried those, and if you need to get that magnified, spend the money on a dissecting microscope. They're not that expensive. And that's something you'll have in the barn or the head house or wherever you're going to do it. But just for your everyday out and about, one of these jeweler's loops is a must have. Got to do it. Greg, you brought up something earlier when we're looking at this list, and you're just like, these are things that you're just like, why don't I have one of these, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to write on?
Well, I mean, usually if I hadn't thought about it ahead of time, I'm going to pull out the hardware store receipt from my pocket and write on the back of that.
Or whatever's in the passenger seat of the truck, right? Mm-hmm. McDonald's bag or whatnot.
Yep. Junk mail.
Junk mail. Yep. Stop it.
You need a good, like thought journal, I think, is what you need, you know, with flowers on it.
Flowers on it. For? Yep. Yeah. With a little lock, you know, fingerprint.
Unicorns. Yeah.
Unicorns. No, what you want. The ones that I always used, and I found them on Amazon here, it's called the Indestructible Waterproof, Tearproof, Weatherproof Field Notebook. I like the small ones, the 3.5 by 5.5 inch ones. They're bright ass orange, so you can see them. They're waterproof. That is important. Because you're like, dude.
The field's wet? Really?
I'm not out taking notes in the rain. No, I know you're not. But you will be out taking notes and doing calculations when you're mixing your herbicides and pesticides, and there's liquid around. If any of your yards are like mine, and the dew is so heavy in the morning that if you dropped anything into the grass or whatever that was paper, it would be soaked in a second. Make sure it's waterproof. Pack of four, $14. So you can have one on your person. You can have one in the truck. You can have one in the tractor. You can—I don't care where you put it. And it's waterproof, so you can leave it outside, mm-hmm. and it's not going to fall apart on you.
Yep. And I'm sure there are folks saying, "I put all my notes on my phone." You know, I get it. I get that. That's, you know, look, my kids are the same way. They don't take paper anywhere. They write everything down on their phone. Paper and pen. Come on.
Yep. Yep. I'll get to the phone in a second, but. To go along with this notebook is an all-weather clicker pen. You're like, it's just a pen, dude. Yeah, but this is a write-in-the-rain all-weather durable clicker pen. It will write underwater if you want it to. I've got that on there. It's spendy. I mean, it's a pen, but it's like $12. But this was a field staple when I was doing my field research. Hmm. You don't need it to work with the waterproof paper, but if you think you're going to be writing in the rain, as I often was doing field research, then you needed that. So I added it in there. It's a nice to have. It's not necessary. Mm-hmm. But along that, the whole writing sort of thing, I guess we could have thrown this one into the pesticide section, which is a Write in the Rain brand, all weather pesticide application record notebook. $24. And it's spiral bound, and it is a notebook, but it's laid out in such a way that it provides you accurate recording of your pesticide and chemical applications. It's a beautiful tool. I would suggest everybody who's applying any kind of chemical have one of these. I like the Write in the Rain, again, because they're all weather. You're like, oh, I put all that in a spreadsheet. Uh-huh. Sure you do. Because you're out there, and you're remembering to write it all down while you're mixing, and then you're like, oh, I got to go out and spray, and then you come in and try to remember what you did. Yeah, no, don't be stupid. Just write it down when you're actually doing it.
And I know you mentioned it already, but I do love that these two notebooks you're suggesting are bright orange and bright yellow. So when you drop them, mm-hmm. you will see them again.
Right. And, you know, I ask people frequently to show me their pesticide, or let's say, I'm going to see your fungicide application schedule, and they'll take a screenshot with their phone of something they scribbled on a whiteboard somewhere. No, Batman, that's not how it works. Get me your pest. Show me your book. I want to see, show me the math. Show me your work. Let's see here. What else can we talk about?
Well, I mentioned phones. I know you have an OtterBox on here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. OtterBox Defender Series case for your phone. Now, I'm a Samsung guy, so that's the selection I chose. But frankly, for as much as we spend on our phones, money-wise and time-wise, and how much of a valuable asset it is, get a freaking case that is up to the job of protecting your phone and the environment you're working in, period. And OtterBox, the Defender Series, has great warranties about, you know, hey, if you're using this and you get it, your phone gets destroyed, then we cover your phone. And they're not that expensive. They're anywhere from $20 to $40. But for people who are spending $1,000 on their phone, which I don't know why anybody would do that, but that's just me, get a proper case for your phone.
Yeah, and I would take that to another level as well. It's not just the cost of the OtterBox and the cost of the phone. You know that if you're in the middle of doing stuff in the field and your phone gets destroyed, you've just lost a day and a half of productivity because that's what it's going to take to go get it freaking mm-hmm. replaced. And there's so much valuable information and contacts and whatnot in there. It is going to derail your operation.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So protect your... If you're one of those, I put it all on my phone, well, you better damn well protect that phone. Otherwise, you're going to be in a world of hurt.
The fact that we're not getting kickbacks from the companies we're talking about here is a crime, I have to say.
I know, right?
As we're going through this, I'm like, geez, you know, I have to, before this publishes, I have to write to all of these companies and say, listen to our podcast and consider a tip of the hat here.
I like it. I like it. What else are we talking about here? Flashlights.
Oh, God, yes.
Little ones, like a pen flashlight. This is everyday carry. This is one that I would always have on my person. And they're like, oh, my God, this guy's a geek. You know how many times I had my head stuck in a tractor engine somewhere and couldn't see shit? You need this thing. Yeah, it's just you got to have it on your person.
I'm thrilled you made that the example because I was going to go down the path of, you know, you may think you'll be back by sundown, but you might not be. It's not just about darkness.
No.
It's not just about nighttime darkness, I should say.
No, absolutely not. The number of times I've lain on the ground with my torso in a hole working on an irrigation something and I couldn't see because the sun wasn't in the right position. You need a flashlight on your person. And I always had these little ones with very high lumens. So again, you got the one I picked out was a pack of two for $10. Mm-hmm. Not expensive things here.
Yep.
But to top off the geekiness of this whole everyday carry, you need something to carry this shit in. And I like these, they call them tool holders or cell phone holders. They're my Batman utility belt thing. And it's a clip on. It clips onto your belt or side of your pants. But it's got a slot for your phone and your multi-tool and your flashlight and pens and whatever else that you want to put in there. It's not very big. It's slightly bigger than, you know, like clipping a phone on your belt. But it's at hand. And I've always got it. You do that for a couple of weeks and all of a sudden you don't have it. You get the sweats a little bit because you're so used to having this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So get something like that and you're going to thank yourself. Certainly if this is even anything close to a full-time gig for you, you're going to want to have something like that. Maybe not necessary for the hobbyist, but certainly for the aspiring pro is something you want.
And you know, there was a time everyone had a belt clip for their cell phone back when phones mm-hmm. were more boxy and they did not appropriately fit in a pair of pants.
Right.
But that seems to have gone away in the general public. People don't wear their phones anymore. But this, yes, I agree. When you're out and about, I mean, something like this that'll hold the phone, the flashlight, whatever other tools you've got, it is a must have.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, on the light side of things also, you did put a headlamp on here.
Yes. Yep. Because there are going to be times when, let's say, you're working on your harvester or your dryer or your whatever it happens to be, where you can't hold a flashlight. Mm-hmm. You just can't.
And mixing a drink?
Mixing a drink, correct. Well, you can put it in your mouth, I guess.
No, that's true.
But headlamp. Need a headlamp. Always have one around. They're rechargeable now, so you don't necessarily have to just keep putting batteries in them. But bright lumens are what you want. Mm-hmm. I would use one all the time working on the harvester on the Wolf, because once you're inside of that thing, you can't see shit. So you need some light. Get a headlamp or have one around. Certainly not everyday carry, but.
And I'm not sure if this, I haven't dug into this particular one you picked, which is super bright. I'm a fan of the ones that also have a red light option.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're working with other people, depending on what it is you're working on, sometimes you just need to see where you're going as opposed to get bright in the middle of a harvester. And there's nothing worse than getting nailed in the face by 6,000 lumens. So it's nice when you're and I, of course, am speaking from the Boy Scout camp out perspective, yes, of the number of times I've said, get that damn headlamp out of my face.
Right.
So I like the red light option. That's for me. But that can have its benefits as well.
Yeah. Yep, I would agree. We're not going to make it through this list.
No, we're not.
And I'm not done growing the list, so I'm trying to pick things out strategically here so we can group them together. Mm-hmm. Next time we talk about this, we can talk about like hand tools and stuff. But sure. So let's continue with some of the stuff people don't think about. Oil-based paint markers. You're like, what? So yeah, Sharpie makes paint markers. They're oil-based. They're actual paint in their standard colors. Get them. Because regular old Sharpie, quote, permanent marker doesn't last for shit in the sunlight at all. If you have something you need to mark and you need to know it's going to stay there, get paint markers. Five colors, you know, black, white, was it green, yellow, and was that blue, yellow, and red? I can't tell. $9. I mean, come on. They're great. I love them. Get them. You'll thank me.
And then, and when you see how much you love them, use them to draw James a nice postcard and send him a thank you.
Draw smiley faces. Draw mm-hmm. a portrait of me.
Yep. And you can check how much postage you need by weighing it in your new steel analog.
you could.
And wear your gas mask when you go to the post office.
Exactly, because you know, COVID.
Oh yeah, is that still a thing?
That's still a thing. Okay. So you talked about the first aid kit.
Mm-hmm.
If you have employees, that's a requirement, certainly in the States. Make sure you get the right type of first aid kit for sort of the hazards that you're looking at. I chose a construction industrial first aid kit for potentially more serious wounds that you might come across. $20. I mean, come on. Just smart to have that.
Yeah, 118 pieces. It's probably 115 Band-Aids.
That's probably right.
And three little cards that say 911 on them.
911. Oh, there's some gauze in there. There's some cold packs. There's some, you know, tourniquets and that kind of stuff. But, mm-hmm.
Because as there's a phrase that you've all heard, there will be blood.
There will be blood.
And so.
And it usually comes from James. I'm just saying. It's like anybody. True. Ask my wife. Just, yeah.
Well, sometimes we initiate that intentionally on you. That's true. That's a whole nother story.
Mm-hmm. And I think the last one I'll wind up with today is something that is very near and dear to my heart and saved my employees much, much grumpy James. Waterproof shoe covers.
Mm.
I don't know if it's my biggest pet peeve, but it's up there. It's frickin' wet socks. Yeah. I hate them. And like I mentioned earlier, we had we were in a valley, and so we get super heavy dew at night, and it would be like it rained all night. And so if you had to go out and scout or do anything, and you had to walk through grass that or any vegetation in the morning, your shoes would be soaked in a matter of seconds. And I hated it. I also hated wearing like rubber boots around. I would if I had to, but it just, you know, they're clunky and whatnot. And I just,
yep.
And they're never really comfortable. So I got myself a pair of silicone overshoes. So they zipped up the front. They had a waterproof zipper on them, but they're silicone and treaded. Holy crap, did that change my life.
Well, I believe it, because then you're also wearing good work boots that fit you properly,
yep.
Which nothing worse, whether it's in the field or in an office, nothing worse than bad shoes all day long.
Oh yeah.
So you're able to get good boots and then cover them with the waterproofing.
Yep.
It's a great combination there.
Oh yeah, I loved it and totally made me a much happier camper. Mm-hmm. A much happier camper.
Happier camper.
Happier camper. So
when you started saying it was the your one big thing, I thought you were going to mention the walkie-talkies and how it made you feel like a 5-year-old again.
Walkie-talkies are important. We can talk about we're out of time.
We are out of time.
We can talk about that later. But there's so much more on this list that I'm just like,
there is.
We haven't even talked about nutrient measurement or hand tools or, you know, stuff like that. So
I know you're thinking of a ton of other things that aren't on here yet that you want to add that are coming up as we're talking as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So there will be a part two of this at the very least. Pumping truth and knowledge into